You'll see there is a bit of a typo. I'll just go ahead and disclose that someone caught that. We have two section 10s, one in our references, but we'll clean that up as a matter of drafting. And other than that, I have, I believe, outlined all the differences between version J and version X.
Very good, Ben.
I must admit,
good job.
You know this issue better than anyone ever.
Are we ready to move it?
Neil, I see you in the back. Do you have any comments that you'd like to make in relation to the CS?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Neil Slotnick. I'm an Assistant Attorney General with responsibility for ethics. I have not had a chance to discuss the addition of the Alaska Railroad with the Attorney General or with the Alaska Railroad. I guess the way I would envision seeing this implemented would be to have some kind of memorandum of agreement with the railroad so that their general counsel could handle advice, just as we have assistant attorney generals handle advice other than myself, who serves as ethics counsel. I'm not clear how we would deal with complaints. Probably that would be done through the AG's office. I would also envision being able to charge the Alaska Railroad through an RSA for attorney time that's spent on ethics matters dealing with the railroad.
I think it would go a long way, Neil, towards satisfying that expectation that was laid out in 86 for the railroad to adopt some sort of ethics requirements and statutes. I guess I didn't view it as being particularly difficult or onerous, and it sounds like you don't either. Representative Martin and Representative Davis?
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, this has been more than a small problem. It's a major, major problem. And the first reason why they let the railroad have exclusive independence was we thought we'd get rid of the thing within a couple of years. It was up for sale. But every group that got in there wanted their own little empire, and no way in the world they're going to stop the legislature or do their job. They were supposed to sell themselves, and then they switch the law so that the legislature would sell it. Then every time the legislature tried something, the CEO and the president all came down here like a bunch of bulls and demanded their independence at the private railroad. And it got worse and worse. And the audits, it wasn't the first time they recommended they be under the executive budget, but this last one said, you guys have got to do something. And I hope the Department of Law and administration doesn't get pansy-wansy about it either, because all their friends are on there. The people are absolutely misusing the state properties and state resources, and they could care less. It's just gotten way rampant. It's a shame that we let them do what they do. But they buy friendship. MAPCO does. Illico does. Princess Toy does. And others who benefit directly from the railroads subsidizing their private enterprise.
Representative Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think Mr. Slotnick mentioned an RSA with the railroad to cover costs that the Department of Law might spend to oversee them in their Ethics Act. If there's any way that they could work out a contract relationship so that it can fall under statutory designated receipts when you get it instead of program receipts, it'd be appreciated. Since I think that appears to be the hang-up between the statutory designated receipts and straight program receipts is a contractual relationship. So I'm going to be hopefully seeing a lot of contracts around as opposed to just RSAs if we can.
In relation to the remaining parts of the bill that affect the executive branch, Neil, is the department and administration fairly supportive?
Mr. Chairman, I'll only speak to the parts of the bill that deal with the Executive Branch Ethics Act. And yes, we feel that it's a good compromise, much improved from the version that came over from the Senate. And there are improvements made to the Executive Branch Ethics Act, so we're generally satisfied.
I think there are a lot of things that, with every product there's some give and take, and I think there are a lot of good things in here in relation to the legislative approach, too, that makes it a little more user-friendly or workable, trying to not catch people up into minor problems, but more easily adapt the ethics to the way they operate, and because I don't think people are trying to break it. I think sometimes they're just caught by deadlines or things like that. Are there any further questions? If not, we will recess until 7 o'clock when we reestablish a quorum, and we'll take final action at that point in time. If there are any other amendments that need to come before us in relation to Senate Bill 105, we'll take them at that point in time. I do think that we've talked to most members in the Finance Committee, as well as many House members that had an interest in the bill. If there were any further amendments, I think we've addressed just about all of them.
Mr. Chairman, I certainly hope so. It's been my intention to address anyone's concerns who's raised them.
All right. And with that, we will stand in recess until 7 o'clock this evening. Yes, Susie?
And I will leave her a message that you will be coming back at 7.
That would be most appreciated. I was unaware, Susie. I'm sorry. I was unaware she was there.
But that's okay. She ran. She's gotten a late notice. She ran in. So I will let her know that you'll be reconvening at 7 and that you will be aware she's around.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Susie. Appreciate you making us aware. Were there any comments that you wanted to make, Susie?
I can wait. Go ahead and have your break. I'll be back at 7.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. With that, we're at recess.
Until 5:30, we get an hour and a half off.
No.
Have to wait that long for your answer.